It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Now see, these people said, just because he said, I'm a son of God, and I'm coming in the cloud, and I'm going to start my kingdom on earth, they said, this is blasphemy, and they made him guilty of death. There was no court, there was no justice. Whatever the man says is done. He said he's guilty, and the word of God says they start spitting on him, they start mocking him, they start hitting him and say, now you know, tell us who hit you. It was easy for Jesus Christ to tell what they were doing. But the word of God says this prophecy was fulfilling. Go to the Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6.
I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting.
He was not hiding from them. He allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. And so Jesus Christ came here to take all the persecutions, all the suffering for the mankind, so we don't have to suffer. Otherwise, when we're suffering, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew, start reading from verse 69.
Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly.
Now see, in this chapter does not say anything about John. But if you read the St. John chapter 18, the word of God says, we don't have time, you can read St. John chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. Here he says, John, the disciples, he knew the high priest. So he went first, and Peter wanted to come. They did not allow him to come. Then he goes and says, Peter is with me, and they brought Peter in. And then this thing happened, he denies him three times. I was just thinking in my mind, why they did not ask the question to John or any other disciples? Why they went after Peter and asked him three times? Why? Because Jesus Christ said it, exactly what you're going to do, and exactly happened. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. He says the truth, and so we have to know what Christ said, it happened to him, but it did not happen to John. John was right there. Please read that. Go to the St. John chapter 18, verses 15 to 17.
And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter.
See, Peter was not even allowed to come there. John went inside. And then he thought Peter was following him and he could not come in. So he goes back up there and say, okay, he's with me, let him come in. If the Peter didn't come in, this thing would not be happening. But purposely Peter came in. They didn't ask any question to John, but they specifically asked Peter, and Peter denied Jesus three times. But the good news is, as soon as Peter heard that rooster's voice, then he just went out and cried bitterly. Means he repented. He felt sorry that what's happening to Jesus Christ. Sometimes people do not take a warning if the danger is coming. But once you know, you already made a mistake. So what do? Repent. And God will forgive you. Book of Matthew, chapter 27. You're going to start from verse 1.
When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that.
Okay, now here we see, whole night they were talking to Jesus, accusing him, finding false witnesses. They could not find any right witness. And whole night, Jesus didn't have any sleep. I don't think they said, okay, tonight you sleep, tomorrow we are going to judge you. They didn't give him any chance to rest. And then this morning, means the next morning, they already gave him the judgment, death penalty. According to the Jewish law, this cannot happen. On any other law in around the world, this doesn't happen. Sometimes it might happen in the Muslim countries. But in American law, you cannot judge person overnight and give him the death penalty next day. But these people didn't care about the law. They didn't care who Jesus was. They didn't care about his message or anything. And so they brought him to the Pilate, to the governor. And now Judas already found out there is no way Jesus can escape from governor or these elders or the Pharisees from their hand, because he already was tied up and he already was condemned to death. And so Judah felt bad. What Judah was thinking? Judah was thinking somehow Jesus might disappear, or maybe they will not find him guilty and they might let him go and I'll get my money. But now he understood. He says, now he saw Jesus is already condemned, and now they are going to kill him. So now he starts feeling guilty, and he takes this 30 piece of silver and go back, and he says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And so he wanted to say, I am guilty. I am going to give your money back. Could you release Jesus? That's what his idea was. But these people, they made up their mind. They didn't want to release Jesus. And they didn't care about money giving back. So they said, you see to it. We are not guilty. You're guilty. And so you do whatever you want to do. Verse 5.
And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself.
There are some people are thinking, why Judah was not forgiven? Here he says, in verse 4, he says, I have sinned. And then he says, I have betrayed Jesus. And then he says, I have betrayed even the innocent person and innocent blood. So from his talk, he's already repented. And if somebody repents and say, I'm guilty, that person should be forgiven. There are some people, I don't want to tell their denomination, but some denomination people are thinking, if you are born again, once, you are saved forever. You are not going to lost, or you are not going to go to hell. This man was with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, right? And he was with him. He learned about everything what Jesus Christ was teaching. And so he was a follower of Christ. He even went and cast the demons out and heal the sick. And nobody can judge that Judah was not really followers of Christ. And even though he was not, doing the right thing and thinking about evil thing all the time. But when he committed sin, he says, I'm guilty. I repent of my sin. I committed sin. And he is asking those people, but he is asking the wrong people to forgive. They have no authority to forgive. You go to direct to the person. Now somebody will say, he didn't have a chance to go to Jesus. But he could have made a request. I want to go to Jesus. I want to ask him forgiveness. What I did it wrong. Then we know Jesus Christ would have forgiven him or not. But at the same time, we learned in last week, if you remember, Jesus Christ says, whoever betrays me, it is bad for that person. That person should have been not born. That means he is going to go to hell. But all of these things happen. Still Jesus Christ would have been forgiven him. But what happened? What did he do? He hanged himself. Means he killed himself. And the word of God said, thou shalt not kill. You cannot kill yourself because life is God-given life. And so some denomination people even thinking, even the person commits suicide, that person will still go to heaven. But they are wrong, because we see this Judah hanged himself, went to hell. So nobody can say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, and now I cannot live in this world, so I'm going to cut short my life and go to heaven. Doesn't work that way. Okay, verse 6.
And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.
Can you imagine? These people, they thought this money is a blood money. We cannot keep this blood money in a treasury. Jesus Christ was not even killed yet. They had a chance to take the money and release Jesus. But they knew, we are going to kill him. And that blood money, we cannot keep it in a treasury. And so this has to happen, because this was a prophecy, and prophecy fulfilled. Go to Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13.
And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed me for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord.
This is not an accident that Judah did it. The word of God says this was already prophesied, and everything happened according to the prophecy. And then they bought the field, and they say this field is the field of the blood. So they put the name for that property. And nobody can use that property to make something good, a profit, or stay in there and live there, or plant some good things. No. This property was used for the dead people. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 27, starting from verse 11.
And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly.
Now, can you imagine? Here the word of God says, they asked the question, he did not answer, and the governor was marveled. And how he marveled? Greatly. From that you know, Jesus Christ kept his mouth shut. And the word of God says he was just like you take the sheep for the slaughter, or they cut her wool, but the sheep doesn't make a noise. And so he kept quiet, and the people were bringing false witnesses and accusing him, but he didn't say a word. And that's why the governor thought, we never saw a criminal in my life, that if somebody accusing him and he keeps quiet. So he was really greatly marveled. Verse 15.
Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him.
Now, see the situation here. Governor found out that Jesus is innocent. And now he thought in his mind, I'm going to release Jesus. One person has to be released in this season. So he chose the biggest and the worst kind of criminal. This man was doing rioting. He killed people. He was a bad person. Governor was thinking, if I give the biggest criminal, compare with you want Barabbas or you want Jesus. And he thought they might say, we need Jesus, because he's not a big criminal like Barabbas. Barabbas killed many people, and if he was given chance to go back, he can do right again and do more harm to the people. So he thought maybe they will ask Jesus. And the same time, his wife comes and tells him, you know what? I saw a dream, but they don't say what dream she saw. We see some people say, this lady might have some kind of sickness or disease. Jesus healed her, and she had very compassion and respect for Jesus, so she didn't want any harm to coming to Jesus Christ. Just like Mary Magdalene and Mary or Mother Jesus, they would not want Jesus to suffer. So she might have seen some dream that somebody's killing him, somebody's beating him, and she was feeling sorry, so she might have said, you know, please release him. She thought, my husband is a governor and he has the power. Today also in America, governor has power to release even the prisoner who is in a death row. He can say, let him go, or the president can forgive them. And so that was the rule in those days too, but didn't work. Let's read verse 20.
But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas.
Now can you imagine? Here is saying, they persuaded the multitude of the people. Do you know how much it takes to bring all the people in unity? But these people had a lot of money. You see in next chapter, or even this chapter, they go to governor and they say, listen, Jesus said, I will rise again third day. So we want some police officer or government take care of the tomb. Governor is not going to listen until they pay some money. Why these people, all these people coming and shouting that we want Barabbas? I believe these people were bribed, given money, or given some false promises. Then if you are with us, and if we betray Jesus, if the Jesus is killed, then we will have a peace in our country, whatever. And they might have paid money, and these people blindly saying we need Barabbas. And so, read verse 22.
Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified.
See, they all say in the same time. That means they were trained. They were trained to say whatever these Pharisees wanted. And he's trying again. He says, what this Jesus Christ has done? I don't find any evil. I don't find any sin. And why we should be crucifying him? Read the verse 23.
And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified.
He gave him chance. Several times, Pilate tried to intervene and trying to say, this man is innocent. He didn't do anything. Why we have to crucify him? Let him go. But these people are shouting more and more. And so we know how the government works, how the party works. Majority, what they say, they listen. They don't care it's a wrong thing they are saying or the right thing they are saying. If the majority says we want this, the government listens. Read verse 24.
When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.
See now, this man, governor, tried his best. Maybe he would say to his wife, you see how much I tried my best, but these people are not listening. These are the multitudes of people. I cannot do it. And so he said, okay, that's the way you want it, but I'm going to wash my hands. And so we know the person who betrayed him, that's Judah. He says he's an innocent person. The man who is going to judge him, he says he's innocent. I'm going to wash my hands. And so we see even the enemies coming and testifying that Jesus Christ is innocent. And so if the worldly people or some other people start saying, maybe he did something and that's why he died, or maybe he was a criminal, we have a proof that Jesus Christ was innocent and he shed innocent blood. If the blood is not innocent, his blood is not holy, his blood is not pure, mankind cannot be saved. Verse 25.
Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Now, can you imagine? They didn't have to say anything. He said, I'm innocent. I don't want this man's blood on me. I wash my hand. If they would have kept quiet, but they said, let his blood come on us and our children. So they asked the curse themselves. Even the Jesus says, Father, forgive them. But whatever they asked for it, they got it. And you see how many Israeli people suffered and still suffering. And there is a blindness still. Verse 27.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put him on a scarlet robe.
I was thinking about when Pilate hand over Jesus to these religious Pharisees. I don't know why in the world Pilate asked the soldier to scourge him or hit him or give him punishment. Only thing I can think, the Pilate might be thinking, if they see Jesus Christ is beaten and he's half dead and he's really not able to go to cross and he might die, and they might say, okay, release him, release, let him go. But didn't happen. And when we see that movie Mel Gibson did about Jesus, they showed how much cruelty they did to Jesus Christ. And I'm surprised that Jesus Christ didn't die. How much beating he took, and he did not die. That's why after this beating and everything he did, and the Pilate started saying, behold the man. That means this is the man took all of this beating. So he was not the man other people thinking. He was wrinkling, or he was a very poor bodily and everything. He was the one of the handsome person ever born into this world. And he was the strongest and healthiest person ever lived on this earth. Okay, go to 29.
And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews.
What they did, took his clothes off, gave him purple robe, and gave him the rod. They are making joke out of this. They are saying, now you are a king, and here is your rod. And they tried to mock him. But actually, indirectly, they were saying, you are the king. And they took the crown of thorns. Now, I don't know you people have seen those thorns. Now, if you see in the movie, they don't show actually thorns. They just take some kind of reed or something and then put it. In India, there is a tree called Akaya tree. Their thorns are like a V shape. And they are very pointy, just like a needle. When we walk in the street and if something goes in your foot, we take those, everybody, poor people do not have the needles. So they take the thorn and try to take out something from their foot. So you know how sharp they are. And those sharp thorns, they made the reed and put it. And not only that, didn't put very gently, they took this rod and start hitting on that rod so they can go deep inside and bleed. This kind of punishment he took, you can see from head to toe. Not a single part of his body was not punished. Any flesh start craving for sin. And if you think about Jesus Christ took the punishment from every kind of sin you think or you want to do, it punished in his body. Okay, verse 30.
And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head.
Okay, that's also prophecy fulfilled, Isaiah 50 verse 6. Okay, let's read verse 31.
And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross.
Now, can you imagine? When Jesus Christ took all this beating, he's bleeding from his head, the blood might be pouring on his eyes, he could not see even where he was going, he has no strength, and they laid a big log on the top of his shoulder, and now he might be falling and getting up. And he did not say that I'm not able to bear my cross.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.